All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. We've been reading that for a while. Don't forget, what we have been talking about is the fruitful life. And I want to emphasize to us again, the plan of God for our lives is that we'll be fruitful. He said, we'll get there later discussing that. He said we should be fruitful, we should multiply, we should fill the earth and subdue it. And in that process, we will have dominion. That is, dominion is not possible without fruitfulness. Did you hear what I said? And so you must understand that if you are going to occupy the position that God created you to occupy in life, then fruitfulness must be important to you. Do you understand? The parables that Jesus will give, he will explain that a man went out and he gave talents to his servants. And you see the way he rewarded them according to how they used the talent and became fruitful. So the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's start from verse 2. Peter said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by this he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." Now notice something there. It said corruption came into the world, or is in the world by lust. I will explain what that means as in opposition to what we've been discussing just in a moment. It said, "Now for this very reason, applying all diligence," that is because you have these promises and you know that corruption, all right, will come into your life as a result of lust. For this very reason, applying all diligence, in your faith, he says, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, supply knowledge, and in your knowledge, supply self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Now, he said, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things, he said, is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Now, those are verses 2 to verse 9 that we have just read in the book of 2 Peter. Now, I'll just recap for a few minutes, not more than 3, of some things we have said, and then from there, just quickly go into what we are going to say today. Don't forget some points we highlighted before. I need to, in fact, let me just say that and use that one to just go into that. All right, I may take more than 3 minutes reviewing. I just want to connect. Is that okay? If I'm going to talk to, I will divide my teaching today into 2 parts. All right? The first part is talking about spiritual preparation, and I hope I'll be able to go into what I call the dynamics or the outworkings of the fruits of your life or the visions of your life. All right? But let's end the ones we've been talking about all this while, which is what I decided to now call spiritual preparation for fruitfulness. Now, remember I said something, that Christians prosper, or the fruit in their life is dictated by what? Promises. What did I say? That we operate by promises. We don't operate by the knowledge of principles. Now, let me explain that. You can know all the principles in life and you will still fail. The reason is because Solomon said, "I have discovered that bread is not to the discerning." That is, a man understands something does not mean that he will be able to make to get fruit out of life by the understanding things he has. He said, bread is not to the discerning, all right? Nor favor to men of understanding. So we are not operating by our knowledge of, for example, relationships. You just remember the book recently I read many years ago as a young person. It was so exciting to me that this is a beautiful, it was the first book I ever read on relationships. It said, Choosing to be Close. Many years later, I bought the book, read it again. I said, man, what's wrong with this guy? Why can't he write this kind of nonsense, you know? You know, now I'm not going to bring out something, all right? Let me just quickly say that it's as an example. Now, just by the way, the book, it was written by a psychologist who didn't know spiritual law, so let's leave him, all right? What I want to bring out is that, you see, look at relationship as an example. Relationship has principles, is that okay? And nobody's trying to undermine that fact. It does, all right? There's a way you're supposed to treat your husband. That's true. But success in marriage for believers is not based upon the knowledge of those things. Do you understand my point? You know, I've seen a man preach, you know, I've used as an illustration. He was trying to explain that if you forget your wife's birthday, another man will remember. And like, in my mind, the man that wants to die, remember now, that is, look, and I have forgotten my wife's birthday before. And the, we'll be tied the man that remembers. You understand my remembers? I'm not saying you should forget, all right? The easy way not to ever forget your wife's birthday is to forget it once, all right? You won't do it a second time. Now, well, I'm bringing up something else. That's why I forget, huh? The man wants to go to hell, she'll remember. Do you get what I'm saying? I will join you to Satan, and two of you will go to the lake of fire. That the principle of my success, what underlies success in my marriage is not the fact that I remember my wife's birthday. I don't know where they sell roses. I've never bought one. I can't remember. The only roses in Nigeria are plastic. They don't grow much around here. That's just the thing. Okay, I've seen a few real roses. Is that okay? Nigeria. But generally, it's plastic that the boys carry around. A plastic rose in a plastic bag. Give to a plastic woman. That's a joke, all right? But the point I'm making is that it's not that I bought roses. That's the issue. Now, please, buy roses for your wives. Amen? Don't go home and say, hey, I told you. You're always asking for this. Pastor Mark said it doesn't matter. I didn't say so. You're on your own if you start quoting that kind of thing. Did I say so? What I just said is the ultimate success of marriage is not based upon that. It's based upon what? The knowledge of the promises of God. You understand what I'm saying? I know what God has said about it, and that's what I operate. I don't believe that you should make marriage work. Listen, fundamentally, my marriage works. You get what I'm saying? That's what God made it to be. I feel vexed on my wife, she feels vexed on me. But that's vexation on the premise that the marriage is working. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. That is, so as believers, we shouldn't put our emphasis first on the outward things, all right? Our emphasis is first on what? The promises of God. And Peter said it here, that we are operating by promise. I don't want to go over all of that again. We discussed it. And I said that there's what the Bible calls, now here he uses one expression, he said we become partakers of divine nature. I said that means to be able to express the power of God practically in your lives, all right? And how that works, we said that when you are living in that, we said that you have entered into the kingdom of God. And that was what Nicodemus noticed when he came to Jesus and he began to ask concerning the life of Jesus. And Jesus now told him that it's because of the entrance into the kingdom of God. He now said, except a man be born again. So we said that Peter here now talked about that entrance. All right, I just want to review a few things. And that's in verse 11. He said, for in this way, the entrance into the entire kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Don't forget the illustration I gave. I said, David knew his entrance into the killing of Goliath. He knew it. He knew his entrance into victory. He came based on a promise. I want you to understand something. You know, when David was going to speak, he spoke from, you know, I said something earlier, that for me, my marriage works automatically. All right? I don't make it work. Even if I disagree with my wife, it is disagreement in the midst of a working marriage. Amen? If I agree, it is agreement in the midst of a working marriage. If she becomes very happy, it is happiness in the center of a working marriage. If she's unhappy, it's unhappiness in the center of a working marriage. Do you get my point? All right. Now, so I'm bringing out an issue here. So David came in with that same principle. This is an uncircumcised Philistine. The word uncircumcised there reflects the fact that this man is outside the commonwealth. God is not as for him as God is for us. That's what he was saying. He said, because of that, I'm a victor. Like I preached that time, winner by nature. That as a child of God, I'm a winner by nature. I'm not winning because of the things I'm doing. I'm doing those things because I'm a winner. I'm just expressing the winning nature that's inside my soul. Do you follow the principle? So David, we said, was a winner and he knew it. But for him to express the victory that was inside him, what God gave to him was what? The vision of his own entrance. I said David did not go fighting Goliath thinking that maybe something strange will happen. No. David did not approach the battle with Goliath hoping that Goliath would just have a heart attack and die. No. David did not think that maybe Goliath would throw his javelin and he will miss. No. He wasn't counting on the arrows from the side of Goliath. He was counting on the knowledge he had. What the Bible calls wisdom for salvation. We'll discuss that. Maybe we'll start today and continue next time. What the Bible calls the wisdom for his salvation. What was the wisdom for salvation? David knew he would sling his stone and aim at his head and it will hit him, stun him. And in that stunned state, he's going to cut off his head. He wasn't doubting. And like I said, How come he knew? Are you getting my point? Every challenge of your life, there is a wisdom for your salvation. There is something practical that you will aim to do, knowing that it's going to work. And when you do it, you will find results. That's what Peter is explaining as your entrance into the kingdom of God. That what makes you different from the person that does not have the love and the knowledge of God in his life is that you have the ability to tap into that wisdom from above. Do you understand my point? Now, the mistake people make is that they want to copy the wisdom, and that's what I'm trying to teach to believers. Alright, we can gather in seminars and try and copy wisdom that some people downloaded. Now, it works. You know this interesting part? Alright? It will work for a while. The next Goliath that comes that has not heard the last story, it will work. The men of David can learn how to kill giants using that principle. But after the gist goes out, all the giants are going to wear helmets that cover their nose safe. And better don't come aiming stones. Then they will have shield, net, you know, shields that they can see through to shield off your stone. And as you are pushing the stone towards them, they are advancing towards you with their nets. And once they are close enough, they push the net aside, grab your head and eat it for breakfast. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? That is, there's a light. You rejoice in a light for a season. But what makes us different as believers is that we constantly draw from the wisdom that is from above. You are getting the principle that God each time gives you a wisdom. So, look, let me tell you something. You will not be outstanding really in life until you get to a particular point where everybody else fails. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? Let me say it to you again. The adversities of life were not designed to kill you. They were designed to make you stand out. My good example in modern day Nigeria. Charles Soludo, saying now he wants to be governor. I pray that the Lord is with him. But this is the point. This is what I want to make. Charles Soludo made it as one of the best bankers in the world. At one particular year, they called him the banker of the year. Do you understand? He was the world banker of the year. Do you know why? Because he came out of a bad banking system. With all the brains he had, if he had been a banker in maybe the European country that gave him the award, all right, they would not have recognized him. Do you understand what Dora Akunyili went to Transparency International then, gave Dora Akunyili an award for her fight against fake drugs. And I said, you see, that's the beautiful thing about coming out of a fake drug-ridden economy. She fights more. She got awards. What am I saying? The troubles of life were not designed for the child of God to kill them. Many people went to jail the time that Joseph was in jail. Alright? But the jailness of Joseph's life, you understand what I'm saying? The fact that the man went to jail, you know what he did for him. But the other people, we don't know what he did for them. Please, what I'm saying is very important. Very, very crucial. We must bear that in mind. The adversities of life were not designed, alright, to kill you. They were designed to help you step out. David would never have been manifested except that there was a Goliath. But this is the point. You must have the wisdom to tackle your Goliath. And I said that wisdom is what is called your entrance into the kingdom. Once you tackle your Goliath, all the troublemakers, they will start singing for Yusuf. You know the troublemakers in that scenario? The small girls. Now then comes the problem between Saul and David. But don't worry, it will happen. Because even though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Because the one I want to quote is that, you have anointed my head with oil. Alright? What's that scripture I'm trying to quote? In the presence of my enemies. How does it go again? You have set a table, thank you, before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, please, I hope you heard that. So don't be afraid of adversity. What you need in the midst of every situation is to look inside and find the wisdom that is from above. Do you understand my point? Now, so these are the things I've been saying, but the last time what I emphasized is that, you know, I said something earlier, that the believer is a winner by nature. Whether you like it or not, God created him to be a success. His life was designed to be outstanding. But then, like Solomon said, this also I found out, that God made men upright, but he sought out many devices. The problem in the life of believers are the things that obstruct the manifestation of the kingdom of God in their lives. And the job that God has given you and me, first of all, is that spiritual preparation we're talking about, is to remove those obstructions. And that's why Peter said it like this, for this very reason, apply all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. I'm not going to discuss each one of these things in detail, but I want to bring out a general principle then. You will see that the qualities that he was talking about here, the absence of them is what you and I will call sin. Are you getting my point? The absence of them is what? Sin. That's what will cause sin. And don't forget what I said. I said sin and moral issues, they are not the same thing. Do you understand? There are things, listen to this, that are morally okay in societies, and they are still sin. Now, you go to what they call civilized or advanced countries these days, and what they are trying to do is to make all of us recognize some sexual deviancy as a normal variant. Do you understand my point? That is, you can be tall and you can be short. Tall is not a sin. Short is not a sin. You're just tall and somebody else is short. You can be dark and you can be fair. And they want to now apply the same thing, that you can be heterosexual and you can be homosexual. And that's what I'm trying to do. Say, please, everybody, just recognize it as normal. So, you like to marry wife, I like to marry man. So, you can be Adam and Eve, I'll be Adam and Steve. So, it's just all right. You understand what I'm going to explain? Now, that's what they are trying to get us to accept. All right? And a lot of places, is all right now. People are now openly homosexuals, and there's not a big deal. Before, if they hear, you won't win elections. Now, it doesn't matter. You can be a legislator. In America, you can't be president yet. Do you get my point? And in most places, you really can't be much, but it's creeping in. A lot of places in Europe, it's established. There's no problem with that anymore. So after a while, children will grow up looking at it as such. But the fact is that the Bible says, because of these things, the judgment of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Whether it's morally right or not is besides the point. That is in the society. So a lot of things that the Christians look as being very, very morally terrible, in the eyes of God, they are not good, but they are not anywhere near the top. What am I trying to explain? Let's not look at sin as, do you know that brother smokes and he calls himself a Christian and the person telling you is a liar? I'd rather have a smoker as a friend. I know we'll get to heaven together. And I'm not joking about it. I don't mean as a joke. Than have a liar as a friend. I mean, we make smoking, cigarette smoking, a demonic matter. Yet, pastors lie. Congregation cheat. But they don't smoke, so it's all right. They don't smoke, so it's okay. You can't keep money with the man and be at peace. But he's a Christian because you never see Gouda with him. I would rather have a friend that drinks Gouda. At least, maybe at night. It's okay with me. I prefer that to a man that when you're around, I must put a lock on my pocket. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? I told you before that in England those days, to be fat was a sin. I'm not joking, no. C.H. Spurgeon. How many of you know of Spurgeon? I heard the story. He used to smoke. D.L. Moody was fat. Moody came from U.S. Spurgeon was in England. And when they met, one man said, "How can you, a Christian, smoke?" The other one said, "How can you, a preacher, be this fat?" This is the point I was trying to make. That sin is not what we in a society consider as morally deviant. Alright? Sin is what God says it is. Do you follow my point? But what I want to emphasize today is that sin is not about the anger of God. Please get my point. For the child of God, sin is not first of all about the anger of God. You know what sin is about? Sin is about blindness. What did I say? What did I say? Sin is about blindness. Listen to me, if you're a sinner, now, I don't have time to go over that. When I say sinner, now you know a Christian that's doing iniquity. If you read all the things that are here, it talks about moral excellence, it talks about self-control, knowledge. Don't forget knowledge. Ignorance is a very terrible thing. Are you getting my point? How you know a Christian that will not be outstanding in life is a man that would rather watch Man U than read a book. I am not joking about that too, and I have nothing against you watching football. But do you follow my point? It's good to watch football when you have finished learning. When I want to do evil to people, you know what I will do? I will organize my most important seminars to coincide with the final of UEFA Cup. You know, I keep on saying it. All right? Let me tell you something. The knowledge of the will of God, you must never take it as something you do when you have time. Do you get my point? Listen, if I offered you, if I say, look, maybe you need a job, and I tell you that one big man who I know is coming to town, and is going to land as they are blowing the start of the kickoff whistle for what the match of your life, you know you will forget the match and tell them, I will watch it after. To go and wait at the airport, you are not even sure when the man is landing. But why risk it? He may just arrive now. Do you follow the point I'm making? Because you know it's important. Let me say something to you. You must get this thing very clear. I need to emphasize it. I said something before, and I want to say it again. I like to say it so that you hear so many times, you either believe it or get angry. One of the two. Now, I said that Christians don't give to prosper. The prosperity of the Christian is not dependent upon his giving. Did I say that? I said that. All right? Now, why does he prosper? Because of what? The promise of God. However, now listen to it. The Christian who is not the giver is walking in sin and iniquity. Do you get what I'm going to explain? That is, it's not as if God is angry, but you will not be able to see. That's why you can't pay God. Do you get my point? You cannot wake up and say, hey God, now I have paid you. Multiply money for me. He won't answer you. You've just walked normally. That is, all your fornication financially has stopped. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the way it is. That's why you learn a culture. Talking about giving as an example. You are not impulsive. Don't wait for somebody to come and stay up. Look, brethren, there's a special breakthrough message I brought from above. Like I always say, bros, the breakthrough message is not for the guy that's hearing it. It's for the ministry that's preaching it. Just be honest about it. I can come and preach it to you. Brother, today we are going to enter into breakthrough. What is the breakthrough? We want to start teaching 7 days a week on TV. Therefore, if you want that breakthrough to happen, give me a millionaire now. It's good. No, really, I won't do it. But if anybody does, I won't be angry. Because honesty is very, very good. The one that I don't like, if I tell that the 1 millionaire is for your own good, that one is a lie. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? I'm going to bring out something to us here. There are things we do because they are right as believers. And that's what I keep on emphasizing. Look, the life of a... You learn the true culture. I will talk about the culture of Christianity. I told you about that. All right? Now, so what I'm saying here is this. You find out that sin for the Christian is not about whether God is happy or unhappy. Sin is about what? Blindness. You walk in sin, you cannot discover the will of God. That's all. That's why Ezekiel chapter 14 emphasized that. You don't come saying, I want to know what God has to say about this matter when I'm walking in sin. If you're going to read verse 7 especially, I'm not going to read that now. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm making. I hope you are following that point. Now, these are the things we have been saying. I'm just going to emphasize that. That's where I stopped last time. So, what a believer is supposed to do is to apply all diligence. Now, I talked about that matter of knowledge. You apply diligence to acquire the knowledge of the will of God. Because if God says something as a promise over your life, if you are not aware of it, it probably won't do you any good. Do you follow the point I'm making? If there is a promise of God recorded in his word that you don't know about, it won't do you any good. It won't. What you are supposed to do, therefore, is to exert yourself. Let me tell you something. One day I was listening to a message. Somebody said, are you planning to be a preacher? And I was angry. Two things annoyed me. One of them being that I'm a preacher, I'm not planning to be. All right? So he would think he's right. That was the second that really made me more angry. But the first thing that annoyed me was that, so, if I'm not planning to be a preacher, since you are not planning to be, all right, you are not going to spend the same amount of time looking into this word of God. Then how do you, and church, all of us, they go, anointing oil, they have buckets. When some carry bottle, they carry buckets. Because the thing can soak more anointing. Why bath with water? Anoint yourself in the morning. But settle down and hear the word of God. It says because you want to be a preacher. I remember a friend of mine, then we had the small, I was listening to a message, we're sharing things. He said, he doesn't like to, no, books. I said, I want to buy this book. I like to buy books and all of that. He said, I don't like to buy books. I like to listen. You will think listen to messages. No, listen to music. When CDs were, Christian music though, all right? When CDs, now, how many do you sell CDs now? You can get good CDs for 80 naira, 100 naira. You understand my point? And they're not pirated, original ones. When good CDs were 1,000 naira, he had a whole stack of them. Then one day we were discussing. He said, no, he'd rather listen to music than read a book. And I, in my mind, well, I'm not telling you what I said, but I felt very bad for him. But it's not about what I like. Some people like music, all right? There are those who like to listen to music. There are those who like to play music. But listen to me, there's no creature that's planning for success that will say, I don't like to read. You can like football while I like hockey. Do you understand? You can like watching, what do you call it? Golf. While I like basketball. Now, that's just sports, all right? Somebody can like this, somebody can like that. But listen to me. When it comes to reading, listen to me. Only a man that loves the name fool will say, I don't like reading. The only person that will say, I don't like reading, is the one that's waiting to fail in life. Desiring that he will fail in all that he does. That's the person that will say, you like to read though. Like I say, if you don't like to carry paper and read, no problem. Carry tape and listen to the book. But that you will sit down in your ignorance. Hear ye the word of the Lord is sin to a Christian. Is it not here? Hey, go back there now. Verse 5. It said, apply all diligence, supply moral excellence, and your moral excellence supply what? Knowledge. In your moral excellence supply what? Knowledge. Very, very crucial. But like I said, I'm not going to sit on all these things. I just want to bring out an issue. That's so ignorance, all right? And walking in iniquity are the things that blind the believer. So he talked about applying diligence. You use diligence to fight a bad character. One of the things I used to tell my wife those days, she has learned all of it now. Me too. I know one thing about me. God is good. Amen? If I'm correcting you, if I see the bad thing you are doing, as I'm talking to you in my mind, oh boy, check. Are you like that too? No, I'm serious. That's how I do. If somebody does something that really, really hurts me deep, I ask myself, are you sure you haven't done this to somebody who's not part of you? Very, very important. Now, so then I used to correct my wife when we were talking. Maybe she would say something, I would tell her something that Louis was supposed to be. I said, no. No, I don't think so. You know, I tell her, wait. I said, wait. I will mention one or two people that she knows, and we both know, have very bad characters. Are you getting my point? That, you know, this person is, you know, there are people like that. You have a friend like that, don't you? Sometimes it's your brother, it's your sister. Annoying part can be your mother, your father. May not be your son. So I will mention one or two people like that and tell my wife, do you think that girl thinks she's a bad girl? Do you think that guy thinks he's a bad person? I said, every man's way is right in his own eyes. So you have a privilege that somebody can settle you down and tell you what is wrong in your character. Now, why should they try well? I always win from that perspective. Now I'm a teacher. I can use my teaching skill to persuade you into righteousness. Amen? That's the one that I used to use. But this one is, I'm being honest with you. As I'm observing other people doing some things, I'm looking at you, your life is not straight, I start checking. This is how this guy does. Do I behave like that? This is called applying diligence. Don't ever, there are statements you don't make as believers if you want to do well in life. Don't say, that's the way I am. If that's the way I am, I agree with that you like soccer while somebody else likes basketball. That is correct. Do you understand my point? On serious matters, there's nothing like that's the way I am. They say you are not polite. You say that's the way I am. What's wrong with your head? Who was born polite? The most unruly people you know on earth are children. You were very unruly when you were a child. True of us. Good. I was also. How did we become ruly? Is there a word like ruly? Anyway. How did we rearrange ourselves? It's training. So there's nothing like that's the way I am. You don't have manners and you are saying that's where you are. Hey, you know that kind of thing. There are things we can accept differences of. But there are things if they are wrong. A bad thing is what? A bad thing. Don't say that's the way I am. I don't respect my elders. You know where I come from, they don't respect elders. It's okay in our culture. All of you will just have problems in that culture. If you see a good thing, listen, let me tell you the truth. Everybody knows what is good. I stood up for an elderly person in a bus in America. And people were impressed. They actually opened their mouth and said, oh, that's very nice. That's very kind of you. In my mind, all of you, thief. Did you not see her walking? Now you have seen a young black man stand up, he's suddenly nice. If I felt like, just like because of the old person, I for you carry my seat, sit down again. None of you stand up. What I'm trying to bring out is that everybody knows that which is good. There's nothing like this where I am. I've said that thing again and again. If this is the way you are, it's not a good thing. Get up and learn the good culture. I always give as an example. The first day I saw somebody give out a certain amount of money, I was in a fourth year medical student. Fourth. I didn't know students could give that kind of money. I thought such, only very rich people did such things. I don't like to say the amount because it was very small. That's compared to today. Even then, it wasn't so huge. But if you bear in mind that that could feed me for a few days as a student, that's a lot of money. But I remember what I told myself then. I said, people can give out money like this. Me too, I must. I started looking for the opportunity. No, I'm not joking about this. It was a young lady. She came to our room that day. And one brother was teasing her, picked her bag, opened it and took money from it. I said, yeah, I was just joking, returned the money. And the girl said, no, you can have it. So are you serious? I said, yes, you can have it. Now, some people say her father is rich. Yes, some of these Lagos babes, maybe her father was very rich. I don't know. But all I know is that she gave her that amount of money and I didn't care how rich her father was. So human beings give out money like this. I too must give out money like this. So one day, one brother said, I want to buy a shirt too. And I just jumped up. He said, no, he said, yes, I'm believing God. I'm going to raise amount of money. I want to buy a shirt. I just jumped up and gave him half of the money on the spot. And another friend of mine, he was there like, come, Banky, why did you give him that money? No, it was a lot of money to us. I said, I felt like giving it to him. No, he moved up and down. He thought. He said, no, explain. Explain what? I just dashed the man money. It's applying diligence, moral excellence. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I won't say, you know, I did have a friend who said, you know, no, not a friend. I reject that name. That guy is not my friend in Jesus' name. He's not my friend. All right? He's somebody I know, a distant acquaintance. He said, I know I'm not generous. In my mind, why are you lying? I'm not generous. It's for those who are not generous. It's not for rogues. You are a rogue. Your own not generousness is so terrible that between you and an arm robber, I don't know who I would choose as a friend. At least when I see the arm robber, I'm ready. But with you, I'm not generous. I feel like, how can you be lying like that? You are insulting people who are not generous. You are insulting beggars by saying you are not generous. But the point is that if you know you are not generous, why don't you wake up and do something about it? Again, maybe next day I'll talk about money again and teach people the practice of generosity. The easiest way to practice generosity is to set a percentage on your giving. You know what it means? You will decide, I don't mean 10%. You know me and 10%. If I have an issue with 10% right now, a personal matter. So I'm starting with 12.5. Amen? It's personal. It's personal. You can't bribe God with anything. You know, I've been telling you. I don't want to serve God, you serve him. If you don't want to, it's your problem. As for me and my house, what did Joshua say? We will serve the Lord. Now, this is what I like to just teach young people. All right? Practice generosity. Just take a 12.5% of my income. I'm starting. Maybe I was born absolutely stingy, like a child. Right now, I have grown up still that bad. So I say 12.5% of whatever I get. I'm not saying I earn. I get. I give out. Now, you know what that does for you? Instantly. Now, what that does for you, that instantly, you are freed from the struggles of giving. What I mean is, I practiced like that before. What do I mean by freed from the struggles of giving? You know when they're talking about somebody, your friend needs money. You don't have. It's fine. But at least, you've already cut out that amount, so you know it's not your own. Whether you give this guy, or give it in church, or give to somebody, or give to your father, or give to anybody, you know the money will go. It's a very nice way. Listen, I'm not talking about the matter of tithe and all of that now, but that was why God gave those commandments to the Israelites. It was to free them from the struggles with generosity. That is, it was not, am I generous? I'm not generous. All I need to know is that I'm obedient. So I've taken, no, he commanded them to go and confess, I have removed that which is sacred from my house. So, Baba God, you see, and so, I've given you your property. So, I, that's, you know, like I told one of my friends, I was so impressed by that statement. I said, children are brought up by laws. You don't explain to my son why I shouldn't come home late. You know the roads are dangerous. You know you won't see properly. That was when you are growing. When you are a child, you are in here by 7. Why? Because I said so. That's all. That's the only reason to be here on time. It's adults we start reasoning with. Do you get my point? And that's why you teach children, you guide children also spiritually with laws. And that's why I give those principles. It's a good way to start. All right? I'm not talking about money now. I'm just giving it as an aside. That you learn a good culture. Please. Why am I saying this? Without these things, you can't see your entrance into the kingdom. You can't see it. It's what you can see. You get my point? That allows you to perform certain things in life. I told you, David did not go hoping that Goliath would die by one mysterious accident. The moment he saw Goliath, he had his battle plan. You know what he came to ask? He said, what will you give anybody that will smoke that guy? That was the question. This guy is harassing everybody. What is going to be done for whoever smokes him? And they said, he will marry the king's daughter. David said, that's not a bad one. All right. Where do I get my marching orders from? And everybody thought he was joking. No, I'm telling you again and again. Let me say it again. David was not wishing. David was not praying that God, oh, as I'm about to face Goliath, may he fall. Holy Ghost, fire. Holy Ghost, fire. Return all his javelin to sender. No, there was nothing like that. David just looked at Goliath and he knew how he would kill Goliath. And this is what I'm explaining. Don't forget what I said earlier. Daniel did not pray to interpret dreams. Joseph did not pray to interpret dreams. Every dream that had the meaning, once those two guys heard those dreams, they knew the interpretation. And that's what God wants to bring all of us to also in life. Are you getting my point? That maybe I'm a businessman. They say, there is power problem in Nigeria, and instantly, I know what to do. Do you get my point? They say, after 9/11, the problem now is that people are not flying again. Instantly, are you getting my point? Instantly, I will know what to do so that my own airline won't go under. And that's what I'm trying to explain. Listen, there are things nobody can teach you in any business school. No matter how hard you learn, you study, you can't learn them because they are things that only come from above. And that's what I'm explaining. Without these things, you can't see. You have all the visions, you will have all the dreams, you know what I mean? You have all the plans, there are things you deep inside your heart you want to achieve. You know? I've heard the word several times, middle age crisis. Life can be very wicked. You'll be frustrated because you have no control on what's happening to you. You have desires, you have dreams, they are not fulfilled. And that's what I'm preaching, so that you shouldn't get to that level. Those dreams and desires, there's what the Bible calls wisdom for salvation. Wisdom for salvation that God wants you to have, so that you will, no, listen, I told you, life is not an accident. Things don't happen haphazardly. God set a course for your life. Do you get my point? Before you were born. So if you discover your path, do you get my point? If you discover the path that will lead into your own eternal kingdom, there is no devil on earth that can stop it. None, not one. Do you know why? It was built, the road was built to take you there. It's to find it as the issue. It's not will it work or will it not work. The reason why it works, all right, is not because you are smart, but because you discovered the road that was built to take you into something. And that's what I'm going to emphasize to Christians. Listen, nobody can teach you this. No, you can't go to school to learn it. You cannot even pray it out of the heart of God without being prepared. It's the preparation we are talking about. That's the supply of the right traits in your character. People think that sin is about God is angry with me. No, I told you something. Jesus gave the parable. There was a servant they told to look after a household. Because of his wickedness, that was why he entered into judgment. Because when the master came, he was so busy oppressing the other servants that what he was told to do, he didn't do it. That's what sin does to believers. This will be the path to your breakthrough, to your victory, to your eternal kingdom, like we are talking about. But because of, for example, covetousness, wickedness, not being able to stand the prosperity of other people, you will choose another path. I am sorry to say this, but whether I'm sorry to say it or not, I will say it. I'm sorry. You know, I phoned a friend of mine yesterday. You were there, Gabriel, when I was talking. He said, this is the church I go to now. I said, who are you chasing? I told him, no, it was my classmate. I said, who are you chasing? Who's the witch against you? That you, I'm sorry to say this. You know, some people won't like it. The pastor is like, I will talk like that. That you have descended so low that that's the church you are now going to. That all you guys do is chase witches and enemies. I said, oh boy, find somewhere else to go. I told him straight. He said, you know, after coming from this church, he mentioned another church that's more terrible than that one. I said, you see, that's the problem. Because that's where he was going for a long time. And look, I said, this is what these people do. The other guy, those guys, you see, they have, that's the second one of my friends, they are confusing like that. These guys came out from there, they are confused about life. I told him straight, let me tell you something, I don't have time to analyze it. You will discover something. Wrong doctrines cripple your inheritance. Let me say that to you. Wrong doctrines, they cripple your ability to succeed. Believing that which is not right, all right, inhibits your progress. Why did I say this? I said that a lot of people who go to churches like my friends, in which all they are doing is praying against problems, against enemies. Listen, hear ye the word of the Lord. They are confused. And listen, they are not willing to put diligence into moral character. That's the problem. They are not willing to put diligence into the improvement of their moral character. They are not willing to put diligence into the improvement of their knowledge. That's what the problem is. If at this day and age, they are still naming a witch as being the cause of your problems, I am telling you, you are out of your mind. I don't believe, and that's not because I don't want to believe, but because I know it to be true, that any witch, any juju doctor, native doctor, whatever he is, can afflict a child of God. You are the one that's afflicting yourself. Look, what I'm telling you is very important. I used to tell my wife something. Say, if I see somebody who prays too much, I begin to suspect the person. That the person is lazy. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray, please. I think you should take prayer very serious. Amen? And mine is based on experience. There are people who they won't agree. Settle down like this and go and hear the word taught. No. Invest money to buy a book that you will learn something from. No. Call all-night prayer meeting. They are champions. And do you know the irritating part? They feel spiritual. They feel very spiritual. Start saying, if you bring... No, my wife knows. If you bring that kind of vision near me, visions cooked in those kind of places, I don't listen to them. I don't. No, I'm sorry. I don't. Because I know people, a lot of places, I don't want to mention names because, it's not good. There are churches that operate familiar spirits now. There are preachers, that's their job. They go around with familiar spirits. What does the familiar spirit do? He just persuades you. What I mean by persuade you? Yes, as you were coming, you took a bike that had the rider had a red helmet and you wore a green one. Is that not so? And you are like, yeah. And then a red car almost jammed you people. And then the bike man managed to weave out of the way. Yeah. And right now in your pocket, the 7,500 in the right pocket, the left pocket is exactly 12,250. Yes. If you're a fool, you think the guy is a man of God. Because he has told you what one lazy evil spirit that's peeping and just looking over your shoulder has come to tell him. There are plenty. There are congregations that gather around visions. If you see one like that, hear ye the word of the Lord. Run. Once a man arrives, he enters into the spirit and starts seeing visions. Now just buy shoe. Waka come up for the place. No, really, it's crucial. Wrong doctrines. I've seen men in bondage. I remember one man, I've told the story before, and I was looking at him, I was feeling sorry for him. He attended one of these churches, and they delivered him. Listen to how the deliverer delivered him. They delivered him to the end that he could no longer sleep in the big duplex he was living in Surulere in Lagos. He was now sleeping on the pew in the church. Those kpako benches, you know what they call kpako? Mahogany. No cushion on top. The ones that were designed to last 200 years, if that church would survive that long. You know them? Those kind of ones that if they fall on you, you think it's an earthquake. May they not fall on you. A car jams is better than some of those chairs. It's Pentecostal that use a plastic chairs. That's what the man used to sleep on. He had money. When Nigeria was hard, he used to buy his cars only brand new. That was the amount of money he had. But they delivered him. And they said, this is your deliverance. He was now sleeping. And he was very happy. He was very happy. He used to feel good with himself. Of course, you know, those are recent deliverances. That the deliverance is still recent. After a while, the kpako will get to his body. He will start sprouting lumps all over his joints where he used to lie on the kpako. Then he will wake up and say, Pastor, and I pray under prayer. I need deliverance from this pew. Yes. I'm telling you, there are people. Look, that's what wrong doctrines do for you. And that's what they do to you. That's why you must supply what? You must apply diligence to supply knowledge to your moral excellence. Not only to do what is right, but to know what God is saying about your life. Can't dream anyhow dream for me right now, and I will be losing sleep over it. There are those, if madman does like that, does like this to them on the road, they will go and pray. A lunatic does like this on the road, and you're praying about it. So a friend of mine went to market together, and we're pricing stuff in one shop, and one woman sprinkled water. I said, bank, let us go. This one that they are beginning to sprinkle water, so. Water. Once it's not acid, I'm not shifting. I'm telling you. It's ignorance. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And people see this. If an owl flies over their head, or bats enter their house, they can't sleep again. I'm not joking about this. Bats have entered where I was staying before, and I said, oh, I need to sleep. I wanted to drive the bat. I said, man, I'm too sleepy. I went to lie down. I think I was on campus, or when I was a house officer. There are people that won't sleep again. Bat. The only problem I had with the bat was it didn't keep quiet. If it just stopped, because he missed his way, so he's trying to go out. That was the reason why I finally got up and did something. But because, and I told you, when I was in secondary school, one bat entered our classroom where we were reading, me and my friends. I love those boys. They didn't even know the will of God like I know today. They saw a bat, they killed the bat, roasted it in the lamp we were using to eat and read. I'm not joking about it, and they ate it on the spot. I couldn't believe it. I still remember those boys. A bat, if it is a lot of confused so-called Christians today, the bat will be burnt with Holy Ghost fire. I remember my friends just went after it. They said, yeah, block that. They removed their shirts when in secondary school. They removed their shirts. Bah, bah, bah. Yeah, the bat couldn't see properly. We finally harvested the thing. Bam. Before my eyes, they removed the shade of the lantern. And you know that small fire? They'll break it in and put it inside. After some time, we need them out. Those are people that are walking in the will of God. You remember the story I told you? I read in Full Gospel Businessman's Voice. The man was a real witch doctor, a real one, not imaginary one. You know, there are problems that don't exist, that are only in the minds of people. But this guy was a practicing one, not something that somebody told him. He was into it. And like I was describing with, I don't know what I was talking with a few days ago. I said Derek Prince and There was Derek Prince. There's another white man who described John Gillick, who saw these witch doctors do things. So that it's not as if you got an African. That's why you think that they don't exist. And for clarification, that's not what I'm preaching. I'm preaching the superiority of the man whose life is hid with Christ in God. That's what I'm preaching. I'm not saying those things don't exist. They do. This man, I read the story a few years ago, Full Gospel Businessman's Voice. Anyway, he had issues with some people, and let me make a long story short. Along the line, he gave his life to Christ. And he returned home. And when the rivals heard he was back, they came to do a sacrifice to run him crazy. And that involved putting a black cock and some eggs at his door and all of that. And this guy, God ensured that he returned home flat broke. He woke up in the morning, there was no food. So he opened the door. What did he see? A black cock for sacrifice and eggs to run him mental. He lifted two hands to heaven, took the cock and did the will of God to it. You know, there are animals that lay down their lives for the brethren. That one laid down his life that morning for that guy's stomach. He fried all the eggs, ate the thing, and was happy. And thanked God, Lord, may more enemies show up. Why do I need to walk when I have enemies? You know that kind of thing. And then bring yam, and you know, like tomorrow, okay. So this one is for mental illness, all right? Bring the one for cancer tomorrow. Bring the one for premature death. For a whole month, I won't spend money on food. That's what knowledge does for you. Now, I told that man's story because it's not a man who thought the guys were fooling around. He knew what was going on. But by this time, he had a life that was superior. He that is from above is above all. He knew that. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The man knew that. A friend of mine who went on campus, something like that happened. Everybody was running away from food that one young woman brought because they thought there was forget-me-not inside. The guy came, said, what did they happen? They told the story. He said, so all this rice and banana and fruits and all of that, to students, you know, you've not seen a hungrier set of people than students. I'm not abusing you if you're a student, but I know I was there too. Students are very hungry. At home, they may have food, but in school, they are always hungry. Students are always hungry. One day, this just by the way, I went for a wedding on campus. So we took one brother's car and drove around. We were hungry, so we just stopped somewhere, bought bread, bought some things, and ate a bit of it in the car. So my friend, he was the student that is still that time. And I said, this bread we left here, now what are we going to do with it? He said, for campus. We didn't go home to the bread. So just leave and there. We left the bread there and drove back to the church and packed. And I still remember Sylvester walked up to me. Said, Pastor Banky, good afternoon. They said that bread is your own. I said, Sylvester, it is. He said, I said, go ahead. As he returned, some other brothers followed him. Sharp. I remember very well. Sylvester is a big man now. If I see him, I'll tell him that story. Now, what have I said? This kind of abundance arrived, and students were drawing back because of bad doctrine, wrong knowledge. And the man that had understanding reached there. They told him the story. He said, is that all? Yes. He said, all right. He dragged the chair, sat down. Father, I thank you. You're the almighty great provider. Thank you for this abundant provision in the name of Jesus Christ. The guy tried to eat with three mouths. Unfortunately, he had only one. Because after a while, he said, John the Baptist was a light burning for a season, and you rejoiced in this light for that season. So once they saw the man begin to eat, all of them said, this is light. They began to rejoice in his light. If you wanted to drive them, all you had to do was collapse more. They would disappear. Then you return and eat his food. Are you following what I'm going to explain? Now, this is obvious and these are great ones. Do you know, in businesses we do this, ignorance is driving us up and down. Do you know, there are those who can't marry. They heard that, this guy's father used to be a native doctor. The sister said, no, they can't marry him. I've seen things like that plenty. Because of a problem somebody's grandfather had. Let me tell you something. Look, Christianity, I've told you, the reason why we are not persecuted is because we don't obey God. If you obey God, persecution shall arise periodically. Because it's not possible to be in this world and not conflict with people. You will have conflict. They tell you that, you can't marry from that village. Everybody there is cursed. And I say, yes. You see, it's crucial. Because I told you, your life is a story. You know, your life is what? A story. God has brought you to this life to tell a story, to revert some principles in the hearts of people. And I told you, stop using common sense to explain things to people. Tell them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He said, yes, I know. He said, they are outcasts. Yes, I know. But there's a principle here. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. So that's what I'm operating by. Let me tell you, there are decisions you make, and with those decisions, you are denying Christ. You don't know. After look, Christianity is not about, oh Lord, we just worship. Anybody can raise hand to just worship him. Any joker can raise hands to just worship. To lie down on the floor and roll and dirty your cloth is the cheapest way to impress God. I'm sorry to say this. Sometimes, those who make noise about, I gave this amount of money publicly, it's, you know, if you know me, I know they look like. You have not, real giving you will do, you can't even talk about it. Who will Abraham testify to that I went to sacrifice my son? No, think about it. How will you tell people that I took a PhD certificate and burnt it as a sign to God I'm changing the direction of my life? You know, you can't say it. You go fear. What I'm trying to say is that some of the things we say, when I want to worship God, I just lose everything. I just lie in the mud. That's so easy. That one is not hard. It's when your father, your mother, your uncles tell you, that girl, their village, they are outcasts in the place. You can't marry from there. That's when you know whether you are worshiping. The one you are rolling on the floor. Suits are dirty, are cheap. I can buy 20. God, you want suit for worship? No wahala. I'll buy one new one every service, dirty it and drop it there. Marry against everybody's will in obedience to God. Let's see whether you are really worshiping. That's real worship, bro. That's real worship. That's real worship. It's easy to be constantly stealing money and taking a part of it and giving. The real worship, forgo that source of income first. The one that you are using to, you know, soothing your conscience. Like, God, I know you said I should go to that area to go and do some serious work. But the money there is small. So this one I'm getting here, we'll share it. You know, you're poor, you're hungry. So, dear God, we'll share it. So forgive me of my disobedience. The Lord is good. I said what? The Lord is good. Now, what am I saying in all of these things? This is how believers prosper. This is how they succeed. This is how fruit comes into their lives. Alright? This is what happens. They wash away every obstruction. Naturally, you're a victor. Naturally, you're a winner. It comes out of you spontaneously. The assignment he gave you is apply all diligence. Did you hear that? Apply all diligence to remove all those obstructions. Let me emphasize on one other one today. Knowledge. Let me emphasize on that and summarize it there. Knowledge. Knowledge. You can't make it in life if you're not a, spiritually speaking now, bookworm. A lot of things people pray about all night. You wonder why they bother. If they called me out, like in a text message, giving them the solution. Two scriptures, not three, not four. Some of the things people regard as very, very highly spiritual. I look at it and say, this is laziness. It's laziness. I went on a fast, dry for 3 days, that I may know the will of God. Saul fasting. You know what I mean by Saul fasting? Disobedient soul. Obey God constantly, all right, for the next 6 months. Make a culture of obedience to God, learning the word of God, forsake some things and go for the understanding of God. Then you won't need all these 3 days fast they are trying to use to impress somebody. Listen, I'm very difficult to impress. All these spiritual gymnastics. I'm very difficult to impress.
Before I came this morning, I was fasting for the last 16 days. My owner, that's your problem. I'm not. Look, listen. Is you, what is worrying you? You are the one that understands. You feel 16 days hungry. You on your own. It doesn't impress me. Before this anointing came upon me, I went on a 70 days fast. Whether it's the devil that's anointing you, I don't know. Most men that God called, go and check the scripture. It was struggle. They were not begging him. He was begging them. I don't know whether you understand my point. Come! He said, Lord, you know, I'm too young. You know, I can't talk. Come on, impress me. The fact that you harass God until he releases some power into your life. What am I trying to say? A constant culture, of improving your moral excellence, filling your heart with the knowledge of God. That's what impresses me. That's what real spirituality is. And listen, as a believer, like I said, what sin does is to make you unable to see. And I'm emphasizing that there's one thing. You see, all the principles of life, you don't need all of them to succeed. Now, they will all apply in your life. What I mean is that it's not all of them you'll be learning. Because do you know how many laws there are out there? There are so many. So what God does is to break things down. There is one which is important for your life. And he calls that thing what? Your own entrance into the eternal kingdom. Usually for you is one thing. For you is usually what? One thing. To be able to discover that thing is what we are talking about. All we are doing is spiritually preparing ourselves. Like I said, I've just emphasized a number of things. Most importantly for today is a matter of knowledge. As believers, you must supply excellence. You must apply diligence, in supplying knowledge to your moral excellence. I hope you've gotten the point. All right, let's just continue what we have been talking about. That's a fruitful life. Now, is there another scripture I wanted to read? Let me just continue what I want to say. We're in 2 Peter chapter 1, right? Now, so, talking about this entrance to the kingdom, there's a scripture I want to read, and then, should I read this one first, and then begin to explain this? Okay, let me say this before I go to that scripture. Now, if you read the book of, this would be a very good place to connect it. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, which you all know, it said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. And then there is something, if you read Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4, you will see the discussion on the matter of rest as it comes into the lives of people. Now, having prepared yourself, with applying moral excellence and all of that, there's something about the promises of God and faith. Now, rest doesn't come into your life except you take the word of God and apply faith to them, that you receive them by faith. Now, there's something that Paul explained, talking about we having believed, therefore we speak. That's what I taught in that book, Prophesy. All right, I want to just explain that for the next few minutes. If I can finish it on time, I'm now going to the main thing I want to begin today. What I mean is this. Life is spiritual, I'm trying to explain. And that the Bible says that the word was framed by the word of God. Now, please, listen to that. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. When you use the word worlds, what it means is that the structure of things, that is, the ages of life, the social order, things that are happening, they were framed by the word of God. That's what I want to bring out. That is the words that frame what your life will be. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, I'm trying to bring a summary to many things I've said because I don't want to sit on that teaching, go over it again. We'll discuss it here and there before. This is one thing that Satan tries to do in the lives of people. Listen to this. You've heard me use this word before, excuses for Satan. Have you heard that word before? What do I mean by excuses for Satan? It's simple. God called Jeremiah. This is a promise of God over his life. Before you were born, I knew you. I consecrated you a prophet. What that means is that this is my plan and will for your life. You're a prophet. Therefore, what will you do? You will go out and do what? Prophesy. What that means is that I've built the ability to prophesy into you. Now, this is what Satan tries to do to people. He tries to persuade them that they can't. So Jeremiah answered God. He said, I can't because I'm a youth. Every excuse you give why the promise of God will not come to pass in your life is what I call the excuses for Satan. Now, listen to this. Every excuse that people give are reasonable. Every excuse that they give is reasonable. Listen, let me say it again. If a man says, I can't do well, it's not because he hates the concept of prosperity. It is not because he hates the concept of succeeding in life. It is because he has reasons to know that people like him don't make it. Are you getting my point? Please, I hope you are following that. The faith of Abraham was demonstrated in Romans chapter 4. What happened was that life spoke. I've discussed that before. I don't want to go over all of that again. Life spoke to him. Experiences spoke to him. What did life say? You're old. Your wife is old. She has passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, having a child by this woman is impossible. And listen, any man who doesn't believe that is either very ignorant of the matters of life, or he has an understanding that the rest of us don't have. Faith does not mean I just refuse what is wrong, negative. Now, please, let me say that again. You know, some people, they're always rejecting things. You've not seen them around. Maybe you have not listened. Everything, they reject it. They reject it. That is, I reject it is now a slang for any man who goes to church. Faith is not I reject it. Faith is that I have knowledge that says that that thing is wrong. It's not that I just reject it because I don't like it. Because, listen, let me say this to you. If you reject what you have no replacement for, a worse thing will come upon you. Oh, I don't know whether you hear what I said. Now, there's a proverb from a part of the country. There's a man who rejects a level of suffering. All right? When he's not ready for that. He says he only signs up for a bigger one. Is able to say that, No. I can't sweep floor for anybody. He doesn't have work. He doesn't have anything. You know what happened? The sweeping of the floor will have given him food and accommodation. Refusal to sweep will give him cold, hunger, destituteness, nakedness. That is, it would have been better if he swept. Do you get what I'm saying? But a man says, I can't sweep because I have better things to do with my time. That's a different matter. And you will see it in that he's not just idle. He goes out to go and do something. That's what faith is. Faith is not just that I say, even though I'm young, I can do it. You know, I've told you, the boldest people on earth are fools. Let me say to you again. If you are classifying bold people, the boldest of the set, they are the fools amongst them. And Englishman said, fools rushing, where even angels are afraid to enter. They're rushing, waiting to go happen. That is, real men of strength know where to go and where not to go. Do you follow my point? So faith is not just I just boldly do anything. I told you before, please. I told you I hate the word motivational speaker. You've heard me before. Because I don't want to motivate dead men to move. Dead men, when they move, they only decay. That's all. Do you follow my point? They don't get better. Faith is that I have understanding. That's why I said today, look, you must fight ignorance. Faith is that, look, life says, I can't. I told you before, except that Jesus Christ died, Barack Obama would never have become president. Black men would have been slaves all their lives. I'm not joking about that. Because there's a reason for where they were. Remember what I said? I have a dream. You can only dream because Jesus died, though. You can have a dream that one day, listen, it will remain a dream for eternity. You'll be sleeping, it's only become real when you are asleep. Once you wake up, reality will slap you in the face. When you hear me say that nobody is superior to me, it's not because I went inside, discovered my heart beats 700 times a minute. That's not the issue. It's that I read the scriptures, and I discovered that there's a redemption in Christ Jesus. And because of that, nobody is superior to me. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, what life tries to do is to give you reasons. That's what I'm explaining, all of these things. To disagree with God. And a lot of people just want to fight life when they have no strength on their side. What is faith? Life says, I can't because I'm too small. But I now hear the word of God that says, do not say I'm a youth. But wherever I tell you to go, there you will go. And whatever I tell you to say, that's what you will say. That's the reason why I go to places. That's the only reason why I will say things. Not because I feel so bold that even though I'm young, nobody can ride over me. Listen, my friend, if they can ride over you, they can ride over you. But this is the point I want to bring out. Because God has said certain things about your life, you will stop repeating the excuses that life is giving you for failure. Over the head of every child of God, there's a promise of prosperity. Your current poverty and lack is not strong enough to tell you you can't prosper. That's what I'm saying. Over the lives of every one of God's children, there's a promise of increase and abundance and fruitfulness and success. I didn't go to school. Cannot stop that. Do you get my point? I like one thing I discovered in the scriptures. That God said to Abraham, he said, by myself I have sworn. He never said, by economic situations I have sworn. By the ability to collect visas, I have sworn. He said, by myself, I have sworn. That is, no matter what life says, except they can change me, that's when my promise will not come to pass. No matter what life says, my promise over your life will come to pass. I not go to school does not mean anything. I don't know anybody does not mean anything. Let me say this to you. I said it in previous times. Now, look, it says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. None of these shall fail, neither will any lack its meat. He said, listen, this is my scripture there. He said, because the mouth of the Lord has spoken, therefore his spirit has gone out and it has gathered. That is, we are not talking about natural things. We are saying if we discover the will of God and speak accordingly, he rearranges events to allow the prosperity that has put in our hearts. Listen, laws will continue to change. Did I hear an amen? These days, you know, it's very funny. I read around a bit, and I discovered that all this shout about free market, capitalism, is very recent. Margaret Thatcher was the one that privatized in Britain. Margaret Thatcher, how many years ago? You would think that they've been practicing this free market all their lives. It's not true. Margaret Thatcher privatized just a few years ago. What am I saying? People were prospering before free market. Do you get my point? A time came when God wanted to make more people prosper. He freed the market. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Laws are made, listen, to release the next plan of God on the earth. Men don't determine laws. Laws are made to release the next plan of God on the earth. What am I trying to say? Don't worry. If all the plans you have right now, the visions that God will give you, we'll discuss that maybe our time is gone for today. If all of them are currently opposed by the Nigerian laws, by the laws that Nigeria have no fear. Seasons. I said that the Bible said that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That word, worlds, they wasn't talking about the earth. It was talking about the epochs, the times, the events, the arrangements. When someone tell me that Nigeria is not a nation, I say, quiet. Don't tell me Nigeria is not a nation. There are things that God needed to do in Nigeria, so he carved out this nation the way it is. He made the laws. He made the British come down, do what they did, create this nation, and then they left. Having established the stage for the fulfillment of God's counsel. You can't shout and say it's not a nation. You don't know anything about nations. There were times that one single king will reign over all the world that he knew. Anywhere he's not reigning over, that means he doesn't know about it. But now, you know, nobody can do that. America is more powerful than the Roman Empire ever was. We were discussing today about the Arabs and their oil. I said, you can only make noise because it's modern deal. Under the Romans or the Greeks, they will get up and come there, ask you, do you want to give us the oil or not? When you say no, then they kill everybody, take the oil, and the rest of you that don't die, they carry you to their cities to go and work there. And then the oil becomes that of Alexander the Great. And what are you going to do about it? But the way God has arranged it, right now on the earth, it's so difficult to plan coup that just a few years ago, every day they wake up in Nigeria, fellow Nigerians, because of the corruption that we have been sending, you know, that is, the government don't change again. And then the same governments around be sending congratulatory messages to murderers. You know that? A man woke up and shot Thomas Sankara. I couldn't understand. And he stood up and people were congratulating him. Just murdered somebody. For nothing. Try that one today. Your family won't travel again. Do you get my point? And you know you will go to jail. That is, they will keep quiet. Rain. Maybe one day, you go finish. Your name now Pinochet. I'll be fine. You will travel one day as an 80-year-old man. They will grab you in your sixth state and take you to court. And say, 75 years ago, he killed the president before him. Laws have changed. Why? Because there's a divine order that God is setting in place. Do you get my point? What am I saying? Even though the earth seems to contradict what your heart is planning to bring forth, don't worry. Are you getting my point? What did I say? Don't worry. When the time is ripe, because the mouth of the Lord has commanded, therefore his spirit will go out and go and gather. People say, I can't start my business because I don't have people to support me. You don't have people to support you for two reasons. One, either you don't need them, or two, you can't handle them. Because if God is ready to use people, you know, David will sit down as a young boy, and people will come and say, good morning, sir. This spear has killed three giants. How many you kill, Oga? One. Me. I don't kill three. See these stones? We used to sling them as strands of hair. And we don't miss. Whether with the right or with the left. We used to work for Saul. Give us new jobs, sir. That was how men gathered around David until the Bible testified that they were so great like the army of God. Wasn't begging anybody. So don't worry. Once the mouth of God commands, his spirit goes out to what? Gather. There's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. Because before his spirit begins to move to gather, one thing people must do is to speak with their mouths. The earth responds to the words that come out from your mouth. That's what I'm saying. That's why I wanted to just say that briefly and then begin what I wanted to say today, but we didn't get there. Let me emphasize that and I leave here. Listen to this. More powerful than anything outward is the word that is released from the persuaded heart. Especially when the persuasion is born of the knowledge of the promise of God. You know, something happened, nothing physical, just meditation, thinking, listening to messages over the last few days. Then I realized that there's a scripture I quote all the time, which you all know. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I thought about it a few days ago again, and I laughed to myself. This is not covetousness. This is not I'm feeling happy. This is a matter of fact. In this life, I can never be poor. I used to say that. But no, I have been destined and the words have gone out to make me exceedingly wealthy. I don't know how to say it again. I am too sure of it. I was telling today, Gabriel, you know, I just said that, look, I discovered one thing. That there's no how Kingdom World Ministry would not start spending hundreds of millions of naira in a short while. Now, my reason, he said, why did you say so? I said, my men are beginning to prosper. Now, I wish you would get, oh God, I wish you understand what I'm saying. It's not as if I saw money just flowing. No, I just have, you know, like you say, I have a feeling. Do you get my point? Listen, there's one scripture. You know, if you read Ephesians chapter 4, it says, till we all come. Now, what I want to say is not bragging. This is fact. Do you understand? I was ordained by God to lead men. You hear what I said? When I say lead, I'm not saying, everybody, yeah, follow me, let's go. You start following me. No, it's a spiritual leading. That is, it says, say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. My job is to lead people in certain spiritual dimensions. And if they obey the truth, all right, they don't have to know me. We don't have to see face to face. One of the men that influenced me the most in life is Kenneth Hagin, never knew that I existed. Do you get what I'm saying? But the order that God puts into ministries on the earth by him, I'm experiencing it. Why? Because he left words. Because God's spirit is hanging over you and he gives you words. Once you obey those words, the spirit soaks into you and into your environment. What am I saying? Because of the faith I have in those words. Listen, there's nobody that abides by the truth of God that I release that will not prosper. That's what I'm saying. He said, till we all come, nobody goes there alone. You know why? Because it's not as if Pastor Banky manufactures something. No, God ordained something and he put this man and said, okay, you go and point to the cities of Zion. Say to them, behold your God. What am I going to explain? That once I discovered the promise of God, you know what I did? I aligned my mouth accordingly. I'm not lying to you about this. I've not had the capacity to worry about what tomorrow will be like. And I'm not joking about it. I'm not. Why should I want to lie to you now? What am I gaining from it? You know, there are people that lose heart because fuel is about to be deregulated. You want to go and build underground tank to store fuel because price is going up. You've heard me say this in recent times. Let me say it again. Faster than inflation in the matter of going up is this guy you are looking at. They said prices are going up. I said, do I look like I'm going down? You know the interesting part? I don't have to struggle to make those words come to pass. As long as I keep speaking them, because I believed the promise of God when I read them and the Holy Spirit enlightened my heart to notice them, they will come to pass by themselves. I thank God for GSM. You know why? I'm about to receive an important phone call. That's what I mean. Say from where? I don't know. I just know one day I'll get an important phone call. And things will turn around in my life. Do you get what I'm going to explain? He said, I call a bird of prey from the east and the man of my purpose from a distant country. Listen to me. There are people that God ordained to assist me in things and currently maybe they live in Australia. And we have never met. As God was preparing his word that I'm supposed to speak, so was he preparing them to help carry those words. No, you know, you ask him your daddy about kingdom, world ministry and all of that, you know, finances and all of that. I said, one prayer I prayed long ago, is that I will not personally be financing kingdom, world ministries. And my reason is simple. I said, I will take the money and give it to another ministry. I said, the reason is simple. Because I have to know that I was called. I don't like rich people who do ministry. I don't know what I get my point. That is, you've chopped, you've belly fooled. You know what I mean? Your belly don't fool. And I say, God, you have blessed me. Let me take the money to preach. Look, if you're like that, take the money and go and give somebody else who's preaching. Wealth does not give you the power to preach the gospel. I told the Christians don't operate by results. They say, you know, these men, they have results. I run nonsense. Christians operate by prophecies. What determines whether you are right or you are wrong is whether you are in alignment with the correct word of God, not whether you have results to show. I can make multi-millionaires though I don't do business. I'm my wife's chief consultant. The wisdom I give to ask her, yes, no. All the things that Ero and Dana are doing, ask my wife. I said it years ago that they should be doing this thing. Look, I'm serious. I'm not joking about that. I'm not trying to bribe. You know, I'm not begging you for money or something. So what I'm telling you is simple. What I'm telling you is that if you hear me now, how must I make excuses? Let me just say what I want to say. You can't hear me and not prosper. I'm not joking about that too. Pastor Banker, are you not too full of yourself? Listen, Jesus came and said, I'm the light of the world. Was he bragging? If you are the light of the world, you are the light of. If you are not, it is a different matter. If I was ordained to use the word of God to liberate men into excellence and prosperity and abundance and increase and fruitfulness, then I was. I can't deny myself because you don't like people who speak positively of themselves. Hear it. Nobody listens to me, obeys the truth that I preach, and dies in poverty. It will not happen. The day you wanted to die, you made the mistake of crossing my door to come and listen to me. Okwari. Your debt has gone home. Your poverty is inside the freezer. The mistake was that you tuned to way of success. The mistake was you bought the seed, the word of the kingdom. The mistake was that you took your body and came up here. If you wanted to fail, you should not have met me. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? Are you getting what I'm not explaining? So what have I left with you to do? Go back home and start talking the talk. There's nothing like if only. There's no if only. The onlys and the ifs inside it has been settled. In Christ is what? Yes and amen. The meaning of yes is yes. Amen means established. It's not a matter of discussion for today. It was established before today came. Do you get the point I'm making? What have I said? This is how you prosper. Number one, you know the promise of God. Number two, you hold on to them. And three, that's what I'm adding to it. You go forth and speak accordingly. Please, I beg you. I'm not begging you. I command you in the name of the Lord. Stop speaking things that disagree with where you want to go in life. Stop giving excuses. I have a friend. I've harassed him enough. I told my friend, the next time I hear you say I don't have money, we will fight. If you say it enough, you won't have money. The one you thought you had will depart from you. Do you get what I'm going to explain? Stop making it a habit, a culture, to always be grumbling and whining and complaining. Because it comes to you according to your faith. Words create life. Do you get my point? If you declare that I am prosperous, you will discover prosperity flow towards you. Say today you are looking for American visa and ticket. Listen, a day will come that your card will give visas to people. The day will come. Now today is if only. And I said, no, it's not a matter of if only. The time will come. And listen, like I told you, today is not dictating what that time will be like. Do you get my point? It is the promise of God. So don't speak according to what you can see. You speak according to what the word of God has promised. Let me stop. I've really overshot my time.